Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply. I've got to make it show, yeah.
Big time. Raise your hand if last April or March or whenever it was, last spring, when Tom Brady chose the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you said, uh-huh, they're going to a Super Bowl. That's it. They're the Super Bowl favorites. I mean, it was a pretty popular hot take, quote unquote, that immediately Brady changing teams, taking his services and his talents to not quite South Beach, but South, that tipped the scales in the NFC. But it didn't always look like that. Remember when the Buccaneers were 7-5? And Brady preached patience. And Bruce Arians preached patience and talked about the time they needed to come together. And then the schedule helped them out. They played some different teams in there where they could work on that rhythm. Honestly, I think if you look back at their schedule and you think about the game against Atlanta, in which they trailed 17-0 at the half and came back to win, that might have been the spark that lit the flame that put the Buccaneers in their first Super Bowl in 18 years. And yes, Tom Brady is the quarterback, but there's so much more to this story. I know it's super easy to focus on Brady and Patrick Mahomes and make it just about these two QBs, the passing of the torch, the young stud QB who already has two Super Bowl appearances or will, plus a pair of MVP awards, versus the old guy who seemingly doesn't age and is never going to retire. But it's about so much more than that. Tampa is the fresh blood. Not to mention, the Buccaneers are trying to make this a 6 months run of an embarrassment of riches for Tampa sports fans. No, they didn't win the World Series, but they got back there as the smallest of small market teams with a teeny tiny baseball payroll. The Lightning won the Stanley Cup in September. And now this, first Super Bowl in 18 years. So Brady's been there, done that. But these Buccaneers certainly have not. And the emotion from the Bucs. So take Tom Brady out of the equation, just for the purposes of looking at the storylines. Bruce Arians coaching in his first Super Bowl. He never thought he would have this opportunity again. Remember, he retired. Guys like Leonard Fournette, who cried for a half hour in the locker room after they won the NFC Championship. A Shaq Barrett, a Devin White, the other members of this Bucs defense who've never had this opportunity. And Bruce Arians claims Tom Brady choosing Tampa changed everything. But there is more to the story than just Tom Brady. Oh gosh, there's all the what ifs for Green Bay. The drop passes. But not just the drop passes, the coaching decisions. The wasted opportunities. No wonder Aaron Rodgers keeps using the word gutted. And then on the AFC side, is it a dynasty in the making? Well, we don't know that yet. But we know that the Hunt family and the front office for the Chiefs have done everything they can to keep the band together. So far, so good. Best record in the AFC. First team to ever host three consecutive conference championship games. And Patrick Mahomes, coming off of a week in which he was in concussion protocol, lights out. Freaking lights out on Sunday. If we get that Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, they won't be down 10 points in the fourth quarter. Locked in. The turf toe did not seem to be an issue, and he's got a couple of weeks now to recover. And so it's a fascinating matchup. It's not the first time we've seen Brady and Mahomes on the same field in the playoffs. And all I can think about is D Ford. The AFC Championship from 2 years ago now. Well, it's three seasons ago, but 2 years ago. In which Brady throws an interception that essentially would have ended the game and sent the Chiefs to the Super Bowl a year earlier than they went. And D Ford jumps off sides and gets caught on camera on NFL Films. They said I was offsides. Was I? Gosh. That was the same year that the Saints had the whole Nickell Robey-Coleman missed pass interference. It was unbelievable drama at the end of those two championship games. Not quite the same for the AFC Championship on this Sunday. It wasn't the delicious drama at the end. The Bills did not play the way we've seen the Bills play. But credit the Chiefs, credit their opportunistic defense, and man, credit the playmakers. Mahomes, Kelce, Hill, Hardman, Edwards-Helaire. I could go on and on. Crazy part is, it felt so familiar. Because they got down 9-0 to start the game. Where have we seen that before? So there's a lot to talk about. We're already asking your initial reactions to Chiefs and Buccaneers in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So we got a lot to talk about between now and then. But we're still, whether basking in the glow or miring, kind of mucking through the mud here, depending upon your perspective. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. So first, let's talk AFC Championship. It was the later game on Sunday night. Really hung in the balance in the third quarter. And there was a stretch, several drives in a row, where the balance completely tipped in favor of the Chiefs. Now, they had done a pretty good job to climb out of a 9-0 hole. Buffalo had the early field goal, and then Mecole Hardman fumbles a punt about a yard from the goal line. And I remembered immediately over the summertime when the Chiefs were handing out the Super Bowl rings and they were doing a ceremony on the turf at Arrowhead Stadium and there were podiums and all that kind of stuff. And he dropped his Super Bowl ring. It got caught on camera. In fact, we talked about it extensively here. We even had the audio of him saying, "Wait, did you catch that?" So it was the first thing that came to my mind when he dropped the ball on the punt. Anyway, Dawson Knox, quick TD, and wowzers. Bills fans had to feel their heart rate surging, but also recognize this is huge. This is the perfect way to start the AFC Championship in Kansas City. And yet I know Bills fans, a lot of them, from my time living in Western New York at Syracuse and Rochester and covering the Bills. I know that they a lot of times expect the other shoe to drop, which it did. Kansas City is just fine being in the hole. The Chiefs have no problems being behind by two scores, even three scores. Remember a year ago, 24-0. They're down in the second quarter against the Texans in the divisional round, and before halftime, they had erased that deficit and taken the lead. And it was the second quarter where they regained their footing. 21 unanswered points. I love that Andy Reid went right back to Mecole Hardman. So not only did he catch a touchdown on the next drive, but he gets a 50-yard handoff and just snakes through both levels of the Bills' defense. But in the third quarter is where I felt like the Bills kind of lost their opportunities. They could not slow down the Chiefs. Already up 9, Kansas City starts the second half with yet another one of those huge plays. The ones that drive a heart. They drive a stake right through your heart.
Second and 10 for Mahomes at his own 25 now. Buffalo's showing a little more pressure at the line of scrimmage and trying to reroute receivers with a single high safety. Going to throw a slant, caught, 35-yard line. Juke move, Tyreek Hill, 45, 50-yard line, cuts it back, look out, 40, 35, 30, Cheetah at full speed, 10 to the 5-yard line. You play and press, the Cheetah will run you all the way around the earth. It's a 71-yard pass play to the Cheetah on a quick slant.
On the Chiefs Radio Network, Mitch Holtis with the call. Actually, Tyreek Hill had dropped a ball earlier in the game as well, so both he and Mecole Hardman had opportunities to make good on their mistake. So that huge 71-yard pass play leads to Travis Kelce's first touchdown. As Buffalo is moving the ball and desperately needs to score here in the third quarter, what happens? Allen throws an interception. Now, it was off the hands of a diving John Brown, but the ball was off the mark a little bit. And Rashad Fenton, right place, right time. Kansas City then turns around and marches 5.5 minutes down the field. Just takes so much time off the clock. And that's the crazy part, is you have to respect their big playability, where they can hit you with a 71-yard chunk and essentially gouge your eyes out. But at the same time, they can also take time off the clock. And so a 5.5 minute drive that ends with Kelce's second touchdown, and that essentially seals a second consecutive Super Bowl trip for the Chiefs and them keeping the Lamar Hunt Trophy, the AFC Championship, in-house. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mahomes was brilliant. 29 of 38, 325 yards, 3 touchdown passes, a single sack. He spread the ball around. And afterwards, he was talking about Kobe Bryant on what is now the one-year anniversary, or the 1 year since he and his daughter lost their lives in a helicopter crash. And it's all over social media today. You're going to see it, of course. Kobe Bryant's already trending on Twitter with thousands and thousands and thousands of people weighing in. But Patrick Mahomes paying tribute to him in a unique way, talking about that Mamba mentality.
Kobe has the one of the best mentalities of all time, as far as a competitor going out there and winning championships, not just winning games. And I take a lot from that, going out there every single day and not being satisfied with where you're at. And like I said, the job's not finished. When we went into the season, we weren't talking about going to the Super Bowl. We were talking about winning it again, and we're trying to run it back. And we mean that, and I'm excited for the opportunity to go out there and play against a great football team and try to do that.
Andy Reid, who is so good in games in which he's got an extra week to prepare, right? Now, this will be his third Super Bowl as a head coach. He's got a couple of rings, one as a head coach, one as a coordinator. This is nothing new for him, but you can tell with Patrick Mahomes, it's different. That relationship between the two of them, it's given him new life. And I'm so excited for him to go back, though I'm not sure he's going to be the same sentimental favorite that he was a year ago. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. What are your initial thoughts about this Super Bowl 55 matchup? As for Josh Allen, he was the Bills' leading rusher again, and that's frustrating. That's certainly not a recipe for offensive success. And he played well, except he was under pressure a ton. Credit the Chiefs for making life uncomfortable for him. So 4 sacks, 10 QB hits. He throws the interception off the hands of John Brown, but really never looked comfortable. And as much as we saw magnificent plays from him, both through the air and on the ground this year, this was a game in which you kind of see, still there's a disparity between the very top of the AFC and the Bills, who are on the rise.
You know, we didn't execute, and I didn't execute how I should have. And perform well enough for this team. And when you're going against the reigning Super Bowl champs, who are 15-1 and the number one seed at Arrowhead, and you don't have your A game, you're not going to win the game.
That's a good football team right there. Don't let the score, get it twisted. That team can play some football. I think we just had the quarterback back there that could make all the right plays and all the right throws. And sure enough, today he was just flawless. And it led us to victory.
Travis Kelce with a couple of touchdowns, but 118 yards on 13 catches. And boy, he and Patrick Mahomes are becoming one of the formidable duos in the NFL. But I can't forget that a week ago, we were talking about Chad Henne. So I kind of feel like, yes, Mahomes deserves credit, but so does Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and the other guys on this offense, the offensive line, Tyreek Hill, who caught that fourth down pass a week ago. How about Henne himself rushing for 13 yards? I mean, they're not in this game if not for the way the team rallied around Henne a week ago. So their story is more than Patrick Mahomes, just like the story of the Buccaneers is far more than Tom Brady. But of course, right now, that's the narrative. Well, because we're obsessed with our quarterbacks. It's Mahomes and it's Brady, and it's another clash in a huge playoff game.
Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be a great experience for me. I mean, to go out there and have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best. I mean, it's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
Seems like we've had a couple of those, and every one of them is tremendous. And I wouldn't expect this to be any different. They got a tremendous team there. So, and those two have a lot of respect for each other. You remember when Tom came into the locker room after the championship game and talked to Patrick, and Patrick responded like, you know, a young guy would respond to the GOAT. And so, you know, we look forward to the opportunity to play them. And I know Pat does with Tom, and likewise, Tom, I'm sure, does, you know, with Pat.
Hashtag GOAT emoji. Oh, my goodness. How many times did we see the actual GOAT, the animal itself, pop up on social media in the last 24 hours? So, yes, there is the element of old dude and the quarterback royalty that has been Tom Brady now for 20 years. But there's this element of the young stud crop of quarterbacks led by Patrick Mahomes kind of encroaching on that territory. So we already know Phillip Rivers is retiring. There's a good chance Drew Brees could retire. Peyton's gone, and we don't know about Ben Roethlisberger. Brady is toward the end of his career. I mean, Eli Manning retired. We're talking about one of the greatest generations, if not the greatest generation of quarterbacks that the game has ever seen. And Brady really represents not just the cream of the crop, but what's probably going to be the last guy standing outside of maybe Aaron Rodgers. And then you compare that with how these young QBs are kind of taking over the league now, 25 and under, and Mahomes is still just 25. So yeah, there are great QB storylines, but it's not just about the QBs. So Bills fans, I want to say this, as much as this is disappointing and you know your team can play better, absolutely the team can play better. I believe with all of my heart that this loss in the AFC Championship will benefit the Bills organization moving forward. It happens all the time where a painful loss not only causes a team to refocus and get remotivated, it spurs them on. They're not going to be able to forget it. It was a fantastic run by the Bills. They finally win the AFC East. They get to their first conference championship in 20-something years. I have no doubt the best is yet to come under Sean McDermott because the winning culture is now in place. Multiple trips to the postseason, as well as the star quarterback coming off a dazzling year. So they're close. It hurts now, but they are close. Different narrative around the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and we'll get to the NFC coming up next. I still have no idea why you kick a field goal there. I will never have any idea why you kick a field goal there, Matt LaFleur. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're going to get your calls to 855-212-4227. Tampa will become the first team in NFL history ever to host a Super Bowl in its own stadium, which is cool in and of itself.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
First and 10, Brady shotgun snap. Running back block, winds up, long pass down the near side. Caught for a touchdown! Falling in the end zone, Scotty Miller! The Buccaneers have scored! Brady throwing an arching spiral down the far side. 6 yards deep on the far side of the end zone. 39-yard touchdown pass, Brady! too wide, looks over the front, gets the snap, fakes the handoff, packs his arm, throws a pass into the end zone, leaping two-handed catch underneath the crossbar. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! The tight end, Cameron Brate. 8-yard touchdown pass by Tom Brady, who has just thrown his third NFC Championship touchdown pass.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
As the Buccaneers were building a 28-10 lead early in the third quarter of the NFC Championship, do you know that they had 35 points off turnovers between the Saints and the Packers? At that point, 35 points off turnovers in essentially six quarters and a couple of minutes. Those last two touchdowns by Scotty Miller and Cameron Brate that helped them build the 18-point lead came after an interception by Aaron Rodgers and a fumble by Aaron Jones. And so you've got to credit the Buccaneers for being opportunistic and taking advantage of the chances when they were presented to them, something the Packers did not do on Sunday. You wouldn't have guessed when they were up 28-10 that Brady's next three drives would result in interceptions. Great job by the Packers defense to scratch and claw and fight to give Green Bay's offense a chance. Whew. And that's where the what ifs come in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before we talk about the end of the game, I just have to point out at the finish to the first half, really highlighting Bruce Arians' motto and mantra, which you've heard many times. If you follow football, it's no risk it, no biscuit. Meaning, there's no payoff if you don't go for it. Matt LaFleur. There's no success if you don't put yourself out there. If you're afraid to, and you're afraid to take a risk, well, that's where you're going to stay. You're going to stay in fear, and you're going to stay wondering what would have happened, what could have happened. But that's not Bruce Arians. No risk it, no biscuit. So at the end of the first half, after Rodgers gets picked off, Tampa Bay goes for it on 4th-and-3 with seconds left on the clock. And then they go for a Hail Mary. And Kevin King just, he misplayed it. I mean, the only thing you're supposed to do is keep the receiver in front of you. And Scotty Miller got behind him. Credit Miller. And then Brady just dropped a perfect pass in. Kevin King himself also had a rough NFC championship and is probably going to be thinking about it for a long time. Kevin Harlan with the calls on the Westwood One Radio Network. So keeping in mind Bruce Arians' aggressiveness, I take you now to the end of the game. The Pack have the ball on their own field with their MVP quarterback, and there's under 5 minutes to play. They're trailing by 8, which is a score and a 2-point conversion. And I get it. Their offense had not been in sync in the second half. It's still Aaron Rodgers. In my opinion, you play the odds. How often do you see Aaron Rodgers misfire on 4 consecutive snaps or not make a play on 4 consecutive snaps? So Rodgers fails to connect on his first 3 shots inside the 8. And I'm sure when he watches the film, if he manages to watch the film, I don't know if I'd be able to watch the film, he's going to throw something at the TV or the computer when he realizes that the Bucs defenders literally parted the Red Sea for him. So as he's locked in on his target on the goal line, and of course the defense is collapsing, half the field is wide open. Aaron Rodgers didn't even need a pump fake. He just needed to take off and run. And that, of course, is something that you can see and he'll see after the fact. So it's 4th down. They're still on the 8, as opposed to being closer if Rodgers had taken off and maybe, I don't know, making this easier, quote-unquote, for Matt LaFleur. I thought it was a joke when LaFleur sends his field goal team out there. I thought it has to be a fake. But except, of course it can't be a fake because everybody's going to know it's coming. No, he kicked the field goal. I don't get it. The field goal does you no good. You still need a touchdown after that. It'd be different if they were only trailing by 6 and you needed 2 field goals to tie. Nope, they still would have needed a touchdown after that. We're not talking about Chad Henne here. We're talking about giving the ball back to Tom Brady, who's done this so many times, it's like muscle memory. I just can't believe you have the MVP quarterback and you'd rather put the ball in Tom Brady's hands than give your quarterback another shot. I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers with the ball than take a chance with any defense. Now, I get it. There was a PI flag in there that a lot of people are going to point to. Blah, blah, blah. That's not why the Packers lost. Wasted opportunities. And Matt LaFleur bears the responsibility for the one that I don't know if I can get over. Now, Rodgers says it wasn't his decision. Producer Dave and I were talking about this earlier. If I'm Aaron Rodgers and you know it's the MVP, for God's sakes, are you not telling Matt LaFleur to get those freaking special teamers off the field? Here was LaFleur's explanation about why he kicked the field goal with 2:09 remaining.
The way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. But we're always going to be process-driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
He got scared. He got gun-shy. They misfired on three shots inside the eight, and he thought, it didn't work out. So, you know, let's go play defense. Let's give the ball back to Tom Brady. What's the worst that can happen? Oh, my gosh. Here's the deal. If you follow his thought process through, let's just say they come up with nothing on fourth down. They get held outside of the end zone. You're still down by a score. You still need a defensive stop to get the ball back. Why not take a shot? Because the field goal does you no good. It doesn't bring you within 3 points. That's the crazy part. And it's something Bruce Arians would never have done. Now, I'm not telling you Bruce Arians is a better coach and Matt LaFleur is doing great, only that this game really highlighted the differences in the approaches of these two coaches with their quarterbacks. You took the ball out of the hands of Aaron Rodgers and gave it to Tom Brady. That in and of itself is brutal. Brutal decision making. It's definitely not no risk it, no biscuit. It's no risk it and don't eat for days. So we're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers, also a little bit from Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, really emotional for the Buccaneers as a franchise. And I don't mean Brady. I mean all the other guys who are playing for the first time. We're going to get to your calls here too, 855-212-4227, the morning after. So ominous.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There were times when I never thought it would happen. I never thought I'd get a head coaching job. And after the cancer scare in Arizona, you know, sitting out that year and then coming back, this has been the most rewarding year of coaching in my life.
This is the ultimate team sport. And, you know, we've had a lot of people work really hard over a course of a period of time to get to this point. So, you know, it's a tough journey to get here. It's taken a lot of different people over the course of the season on offense, defense, special teams to come through. And, you know, that's why we're still playing. There's going to be two teams left playing. We're going to be one of them. And, again, just an incredible journey for all of us and just proud to be a part of it.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Bruce Arians, a little more emotional than one Tom Brady, who definitely let off some steam on the field there at Lambeau. But Bruce Arians has an opportunity to coach in his first Super Bowl as the guy in charge, as opposed to being a coordinator or an assistant coach. And he said after the health challenges he went through and retiring, he wasn't sure if he'd be able to coach again. And now it's this match made in heaven. Tom Brady chooses Tampa, and according to Arians, it changed everything. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, on Facebook, on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, asking you to vote for Monday MVP, 855-212-4227. Brady mentions a journey and a team effort, and he's right. No team starts the season ready to win a championship. The Buccaneers definitely did not, with all the moving parts. So earlier, I had a chance to talk to longtime Bucs insider Rick Stroud, who was in Green Bay, covered the NFC Championship. He swears they had 90,000 fans in the stands, not 9,000. Anyway, just really quickly, a couple of questions with him, because I asked him, when did the Buccaneers turn this around? When did they become a team that actually could contend for a Super Bowl?
Well, you know, you never know, but I think when they finally got the bye week, they had the latest bye week in the league. It was like after week 11 or so, and it was a beat-up football team, was tired. But every week, you know, you heard more about Byron Leftwich and Brady and sort of getting his way with some things. I mean, they needed more commitment to running the football. They needed play action to help Brady, you know, be protected. And they needed more pre-snap motion. And you started to see those things. And, you know, you realize that, you know, they were sort of moving close to what Brady did without giving up, you know, the notion of down the field throws. I mean, a lot of times they'll go three verticals and one guy underneath, and Tom Brady's used to one vertical and three guys underneath. And so, you know, they made the adjustments, and the schedule changed too. I mean, look, they were beating up on some tomato cans, but they were doing it so, you know, so convincingly, you know, whether it was Detroit or Atlanta. I mean, they trailed Atlanta 17-0 after the bye. You talk about a crossroads now, and they had the greatest second half, you know, they've had all year. And that really kind of, you know, gave them momentum. And I think, you know, games have momentum, seasons have momentum. They got it at the right time. They were a hot football team, and they let it roll on into the playoffs. And, you know, that's the way it's gone. But it was really, you know, 7-5, it was starting to be a dark and stormy place, and they pulled themselves out of it.
Before I let you go, Rick, what is the plan for the Super Bowl in terms of fans being able to be there in person?
Well, if they could do it like Green Bay, they'd have about 60,000. I don't know what the count was there, but they're supposed to have 22, and it's really a neat thing the NFL is doing. They have 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers, most of them from the Tampa Bay area. I think each team selected four from their cities and are going to pay all their expenses to go to Super Bowl 55. So there will be a big celebration, obviously, about first responders and people that are in the healthcare industry. And then the rest, I guess, you either know somebody or you have an awful lot of money, Amy, because I think these tickets are really going to be expensive. But I don't know anyone. I just happen to have a credential. I'm one of the lucky ones, and I'll get to go. But it won't be, you know, it won't look like a normal Super Bowl. I don't think the other team, Kansas City, will probably come in until, you know, Thursday or Friday before the game. But we know where the Bucs will be. They'll be right in their facility, which has been interesting. I wish people could understand that they can see Raymond James decorated as the Super Bowl 55 stadium and have been looking at that now for about a week and a half while they're practicing. So that carrot was always dangling there, and now they get to be part of it. So it's a pretty neat situation for them.
Yeah, definitely a cool piece of history for the Buccaneers as a whole, as a franchise. First time in the Super Bowl since 2002, going back to the days of John Gruden. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. My least favorite hot takes, I'm using my air quotation, they're pretty cute, but they're going to be annoying after a couple of days. Number one, that the NFL rigged this so Brady could go back to a Super Bowl, because somehow the Packers and Aaron Rodgers aren't interesting enough. Number two, that the officials robbed Green Bay, also not true. The officials had nothing to do with the three and outs or the misfires from inside the 8-yard line or Matt LaFleur choosing to kick a field goal. So that's cute hot take number two. Cute hot take number three is that it was obviously Tom Brady who was responsible for all the success in New England. That's an argument for another day, but that's cute hot take number three. 855-212-4227.
Uh-oh, it's on fire.
I never say hot take unless I'm making fun of people. So you just right there, that's your dead giveaway. Chris is listening in Alabama. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Abby, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. It's my first time calling into the show, but I've been listening to your, I'm a late night bar manager, so anytime I come home, I listen to your show all the time.
Awesome, thank you.
So, but just real quick, I know there's not a lot of time left, is just peak time to be Tampa Bay fan for general and really kind of anything, because it seems like they're not doing any whole lot of wrong. But I was.
Are you a Tampa fan?
No, I'm a Patriots fan because of the Belichick system.
Got it.
So that's why I've been following Tom Brady since I got into the NFL. But the point I kind of wanted to make was, you know, after watching, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I've got a friend that's a big, long-time Packers fan, and said Aaron Rodgers is the greatest of all time. But also watching the Bucs against the Saints the week before, where the Saints were turning over the ball, you know, the Bucs, you know, Tom Brady was capitalizing with those turnovers.
Right.
Where Aaron Rodgers did not follow suit, you know, was it three and outs?
Well, two. They scored after the first interception, but the next two, they combined for six total snaps. That was it.
Exactly. And it kind of brings the point, and you go back and watch, you know, I liked that series against the Atlanta Falcons at the Super Bowl, where this poor, you know, Taylor Gabriel on the sidelines, it's fourth quarter, and he goes, but that's Tom Brady, though. And long story short is just, you know, he is still proving that he is one of the greatest of all times, and he still has the chance to prove it against who is yet to be proven one of the up-and-coming greatest of all times. But that's still a lot of mouths to feed in Kansas City when it comes to all those offensive weapons and defensive weapons as well. So unless they have – Evander Reed can pull out his – you know, and I'll be done after this – is he can pull his best Bill Belichick to keep everybody tame. And everybody knows Patrick Mahomes' contract, but it's a conversation worth having, basically.
Yeah, it is. Now, I think they did some work in the offseason to try to pay not just Mahomes, and his contract is still relatively cap-friendly for the next couple of years, but also to pay Tyrann Mathieu and some of the other guys. And I think winning generally keeps a team together. Not always. Sometimes guys get rings and they think, oh, you know what? I'm good now. I'm going to go get paid. But honestly, this upcoming year, Chris, teams are going to be less likely to give these huge free agent deals because the salary cap is likely dropping, potentially even $20 million or $25 million per team. We'll see how far down it drops. But I do think that when you win like this and when the options are limited, it generally keeps a team together. And I love the leadership of Andy Reid. You can tell that guys like to play with Mahomes too. I mean, doesn't he, whether you're offense or defense, doesn't he make it fun?
It's definitely been, it's been refreshing to watch, really, because, I mean, the dude's, you know, a couple of years younger than I am as well. And it's watching him on the field is something, I guess, what akin to was watching Brett Favre play is very backyard football-esque. And, you know, hell, was it be, I'm sorry if I said
no,
that
it's okay. Hell's in the Bible. You're good.
Yeah, but watching just that one underhand pass, he did was a shovel pass. But, it, you know, if it was Tom Brady, it's a straight forward shovel pass. It's not just underhand, like underthrown, like a soft, you know, pass like that. So it's refreshing. It's entertaining to watch, you know, as, you know, a Patriots fan watching, you know, my team not make it as much. It's, but I'm also a St. Louis Blues fan. So
okay, dude, I do not feel sorry for you. Not even remotely. Not even a little bit. I don't want to hear you complain about 1 year not making the playoffs. Got it?
Being from Alabama, too. And so, and I plan on, and so I love your show. I plan on calling back when hockey season becomes a little bit more relevant and all that kind of stuff.
All right, sir.
But I appreciate your show. I appreciate you taking my call.
Good to talk to you, Chris, in Alabama. Embarrassment of riches. A St. Louis Blues fan, a Patriots fan, and a Bama fan. What? Did you jump on those bandwagons? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Aaron Rodgers was morose after this game. As you can imagine, the what-ifs are going to haunt him. He used the term gutted multiple times.
You know, it's a long season. You put so much into it to get to this point. Different position the last couple of these where we got blown out and didn't really have a chance. You know, they went up three scores. We battled back with a couple scores. Defense came up with some big turnovers and, yeah, we had a lot of chances. So, but yeah, overall, just pretty gutted.
He He uses that word multiple times, gutted. And his demeanor, as you can imagine, his body language, it's so different than it was just a few days ago when he called his future a beautiful mystery. Now, listen to him answer a question about his future from last night.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not, but just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
It's torturous. It's going to be a torturous offseason for Aaron Rodgers because he had the ball in his hands and the ability to impact the outcome. We're going to work in one more call here. Al is in Wisconsin. Al, I am not joking. 60 seconds. Go.
Okay. It requires a stop and a touchdown regardless. So, LaFleur, take the points. We must stop them and then score a touchdown, because if we go for it and we don't make it, we still have to stop them, score a touchdown, and then get two
exactly.
extra points.
No, I agree with you there. That's the part that doesn't make any sense about the field goal, Al. You still have to stop them and score a touchdown. So why not go for a touchdown? Because if you don't get it, you're in the same exact boat. No harm done.
No, this is why. Because it requires also 2 points. If you make a stop, all you have to do is get in the end zone. When you have to get that
all
2 points
you have to do
after that touchdown, that's the big deal. So if you're going to trust Aaron to get into the end zone, then you give him a whole fresh new start again after you stop them and the
but
whole
But you don't
game
know that you're going to get the ball back, Al. It's Tom Brady. We're not talking about Chad Henne or Blake Bortles. We're talking about Tom Brady on the other sideline.
Because of how Brady was playing at the point that they were at.
It's still Brady, man. It's still Brady. It's still the greatest quarterback of all time. It's still Tom Brady. And I'd rather my quarterback have the ball than Tom Brady have the ball. I get it. He'd thrown 3 interceptions in the second half. He didn't look great, but it's still friggin' Tom Brady. I don't want the ball in his hands with the game on the line, not if I'm trying to win. I'm sorry, Al, I gotta let you go. That's the music. But thank you for helping me make my point. We'll be back tonight. We'll do a little more. Also, we're going to talk about the quarterback carousel. Does it include Rodgers? What? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.